The Nicky Byrne Show with Jenny Green on 2FM.
Proudly sponsored by Aldi. We've dropped our prices on hundreds of products. Even more reasons to swap to Aldi today.
Usually, we say the word legend quite a lot.
Yeah. But only today do we actually mean it.
Yeah, only today. Only today is the first day we're ever going to mean this. Because we have got Peter Stringer in the house. Peter Stringer, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Whereabouts are you, Peter? You're in Manchester, I believe, in a studio, correct?
Studio Manchester, correct, in BBC Media City at the moment, yes, indeed.
Okay, now we're looking at a very nice picture of you on the front cover of your autobiography called Pulling the Strings. Jenny couldn't understand where you managed to get that title from, Peter. Would you want to explain it to her?
To all the listeners also who don't understand, obviously the association with my name, but also the position I play and controlling things on the pitch, both on and off the field really, and just being in control of things in my life in the last couple of years, and just grabbing those, and it just seemed to fit the book well, you know.
It does, and I have to apologise, Peter. He's very he's very mean to me. We all, of course, saw you on the TV there at the weekend and the Ireland rugby match. How do you think the lads played?
Disappointing performance, I think. That's the overriding feeling. Mm. I think you listen to the guys after the game, their post game interviews. Bit disappointed, I think, with themselves. But again, we find ourselves in a quarter final of a World Cup with one game in hand, which is fantastic achievement. And it's all to play for, really, in this French game on Sunday to see who we face in the quarter final.
So I suppose it's always in a tournament like that. They've had two great wins against Romania and Canada. And then maybe a little slip up, even though they won the game, slip up against Italy in terms of performance. Not a bad time to slip up, still win the game and get your kind of stuff together for a big game then on Sunday.
Exactly, and if you can win these games without playing to your best, then you're in a good place. And I think, you know, three wins out of three, and you look at teams like England, you could be out of the competition at this stage.
So we're in a good place. There, a little dig there from Peter Stringer.
I know what it's like being over here. There's a lot of pressure on guys, and the mood isn't the best, but I think there's a few guys within the team at the moment here, Welsh guys, Scottish guys, and obviously myself, who are smiling coming into work every day, which isn't a bad thing.
Do you know, I was watching the Australian-England game on Sunday in a bar in Gibneys in Malahide, and when Australia scored, the place erupted like Ireland had scored. And there was three English lads standing in front of me. I didn't know them, and I actually felt a bit sorry for them. But then somebody said to me, do you know what? It's not just in Ireland. That's going on in Scotland and Wales. And as soon as...
It's going on everywhere,
yeah,
everywhere.
As soon
absolutely.
As someone scores against England, they're like, yes!
It's terrible. I actually feel sorry for them.
I do too, anyway. Peter, why the book now?
The book now, I just felt... what's gone on the last couple of years in my career, in my life, I just felt it was the right time. And in obviously I played in Ireland for, you know, the majority of my career, 15 years with Munster, and still felt I had something to offer, and moved away to the UK and just felt that I could contribute to the top level and still play, you know, in the Premiership, and just wanted to tell my story at this stage, where I felt that it seemed that it was kind of dead and buried, you know, when I was playing with Munster and not being involved in the last couple of years. But just to come away, and it just reignited my career, and I was able to kind of reinvent myself over here, so to speak. So it just gave me that opportunity, put it all on paper, and I'm delighted I did it. It was tough work, but I'm glad it's out there now.
When you left Munster, what year did you leave Munster again?
It was kind of 2012. I went away on loan spells, but really 2013 I kind of signed my first full contract out of Munster, so that was with Bath, and I'm gone probably, you know, 3 years now at this stage.
Having played, say, rugby and then professional rugby all your life in Ireland, that must be a difficult thing to comprehend, to actually go right up sticks and let's go. Or was it easy for you?
No, it was challenging. I suppose I always saw myself as a Munster player, and saw myself finishing my career with Munster because of the place that it is, and we were so successful over the years. And, you know, when you're playing regularly, you never, you know, look at it as an option to change, and why would you? But, you know, when you're on the fringes and you're not getting to run out on the Saturday in those big games, and you're on the periphery, and you're doing more training because you don't get to play at weekends, it just becomes frustrating when you still feel you've something to offer. So I just took the decision, and initially, I suppose, with those loan spells, it gave me a little taster of what it was like, and then when I signed with Bath, it just... like I said, reinvented myself when I moved away, and just wanted to keep playing at the highest level.
And do you kind of have an age in mind that you'll say, right, at this point, I'm gonna pack it in?
Like, he'd have to do it by 60. He won't be able.
Well, I bear in mind you're the same age as Nicky will be on Friday, actually, Peter. So that's
29
the,
again,
that's
Peter.
The ripe old age.
His professional career wasn't as long, really.
21. But do you kind of have it in your mind that you're like, I'm gonna play for another, say, 3 years, and then I might, you know, stay within rugby, but I won't actually be on the field, or do you just kind of take each day as it comes?
It really is year by year, and I genuinely don't feel any different now than I did 10 years ago, which I always look at it that if I get up every morning, I feel good, and you know, as long as, like I've said in the book, as long as the mind and body are in sync with each other, like, I still love the game, I still love getting up for that training in the mornings, and my body is up to it, so I'll just keep going for as long as I can, and just make the most of every moment on the pitch, because ultimately is such a short-lived career, relatively speaking. But at the moment, no, I don't have an age in sight, and just as long as I'm playing at a really good level and I'm competitive and in with a shout of winning things, and ultimately that's what it's all about.
So I spoke to a lot of professionals, soccer players mainly, who, you know, when they get into their mid to late 30s, who you'll ask them, you know, how do you feel, and a lot of them will say, my body is sore. You know, I do creak in the morning. I do, my back hurts when I wake up, all that type of stuff. You still don't feel or see any of that anytime?
I don't really. And I suppose I looked at probably the early stage of my career, and with a lot of guys, you're playing 80 minutes every single week. And the game has probably changed. Yes, it has become more physical, but, you know, in the position I play, you're rotated a bit, and you maybe play 60 minutes and you come off then, and probably the length of time that you're on the pitch has decreased, but you know, it's all about looking after yourself in the time that you're away from the club. You know, you're training maybe 3 to 4 hours a day, but it's what you do with yourself in the other, I suppose, the other few hours that you're at home, and how you eat and how you look after yourself, that has really stood to me, I think, in the last kind of 4 or 5 years, that I've tended to look after myself a bit better.
Anytime I've been, not just saying this, but anytime I've met Peter, Jenny, he is in super shape. Like, you just have to look the pictures of him. He's like, your body fat must be very low, Pete. You don't have to answer that question, but it must be very, very low. anyway, in the inside of the book, it says, when Peter Stringer played youth rugby, he was so small that people told his parents they were irresponsible to let him play rugby on the pitch.
Yeah, I think when I first started playing rugby, I was, you know, you rock up on day one and you're put into positions based on your size, and you know, I always had people who were much bigger than me, and it was never really an issue for me. You know, I just got stuck in like everybody else. But I think my parents did get a bit of grief from other parents, and I think they took a lot of kind of flack from people standing on the sidelines, and probably, you know, got to my parents a bit in thinking that maybe we are, you know, irresponsible and not looking out for his best interest by putting him out there against bigger people. But You know, they obviously were affected by it, and you know, a cousin of my mom's, as it's in the book as well, that, you know, went away and got her son put into hospital, you know, for these growth hormone treatments, and mom suggested it to me as an option, and I just remember being quite upset about it, because I suppose I never felt at a disadvantage to anybody. I learned how to tackle like everybody else, and you know, I was just happy with who I was, but, you know, mum, I suppose, obviously, and dad were under a lot of pressure and probably doubting themselves as parents. So, you know, suggested this to me as an option. And but in the end of the day, I just I decided against it. I'm glad I did, you know.
I think Lionel Messi had something like that as well at Barcelona. When he was
something similar. Yeah,
yeah, he was quite small. He's still obviously not the tallest guy.
What height are you, actually, Peter, if you don't mind me asking?
5'7" probably with my shoes on, yeah.
And you'll always remember those great Irish games, and it went from Dunnock O'Callaghan when the national anthem was being played, and the camera, and you go, maybe someone like O'Callaghan is very tall, and then straight down to Peter, and then someone else would be enormous beside you.
Well, I was bullied into it by the two guys to make them actually look taller than they actually were.
It's a pity you weren't in the studio actually today, Peter, because I'm 5'2", so I could have made you feel like a giant today if you had been in with us.
I would have been the biggest out of the three of us then.
Actually, yeah, that's a fair point.
Peter, did you, when you were playing and obviously starting to do well, did you have like a tag, something like, you know, he's a great little player, great little player?
Yeah, like you always get that. And you always had the mothers and the grannies who were always kind of protective over me, and they always kind of saying, look, the small fella, look after the small fella. But it was, I went out and, you know, did my job, and I suppose I'm, you know, I know what I'm good at on the pitch, and I just stuck to it, and like I learned from day one of tackling low, and you just, I suppose from anyone's ankles to knees, it's pretty much the same, and you go low enough that they're going to come down. So I just stuck at it, and it stood to me.
I wonder, is that what it is actually? Because the mothers are mad about you. My own mother, every time you came on, we'd be watching the match at home, and I was like, come on, Stringer. She'd be up on her feet. I think it's definitely one of those things.
He'll come on and pull the strings, won't he, Jenny?
He's going to do it. The other thing we were talking about this morning, Peter, on the show was leaving the child at Prague out for your wedding. And I mentioned that because I see a lovely photo of you and your gorgeous wife, Debbie, at a wedding in 2015 in Marbella, actually in June, sorry, earlier this year. You weren't tempted to get married in Ireland?
No, I don't think so. We always had a nice image of a bit of sunshine and taking it away out of the country. And it was great. We had a close friends, family there, and a fantastic week. But it was just a really special time. And so happy since we moved over to Manchester now, you know.
You didn't need to leave the child of Prague out anyway.
Not when you get married.
Not
Marbella, no,
that's the trick.
Some great pictures of you in the book here, growing up, playing for Munster against the All Blacks in Cork in 89.
We played before that game. So Munster played New Zealand in 89, and I had a little game beforehand, as they do in the mini games beforehand, so it was a great experience to run out and play before that game, such a big occasion, and then obviously to play against the All Blacks in recent years was pretty special, playing for Munster in Thomond Park, you know.
Yeah, some great pictures in there with Mick Galway and obviously Rog and stuff. Do you still keep in touch with all the lads?
You do, yeah, and you know, to be fair, you know, a lot of them made the effort and came over to Spain for the wedding, and you'd see them at different dinners and functions, but you know, obviously not as often as when you were involved kind of day to day. But it's great to catch up. And I suppose we were, looking to catch up again now in the future. There's a 10-year anniversary coming up of our Heineken Cup win from 2006. It's just amazing to think that it was 10 years ago when we won that. So try and get everyone together again. But it's good to obviously catch up, you know, and sharing some great memories together.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, so the book is called Pulling the Strings. Before we let you go, Peter, you're on TV3 at the moment, aren't you? You're doing a bit of punditry for the World Cup.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's a bit different. Haven't done much of it before, but it's an eye opener, definitely. And it's great just to mix things up and be involved with something like that and such a huge occasion as the World Cup is. And hopefully, you know, the longer Ireland are in it, the better for everybody.
Can they win it?
I think they can win it, I think, but expectations probably have been brought down a small bit in the last couple of weeks, which is probably not a bad thing. They're quietly going about their business, winning all the games, but definitely, I think, come knockout stages of a competition like this, you'll need to up your game, you need to improve in your performances, but I think they're certainly capable of it.
Excellent. Always a gentleman, Peter Stringer. Thank you so much.
Cheers, guys.
The book is called Pulling the Strings. His autobiography's in there. I see, just by the way, Peter, I see on the inside you had you got 200 provincial caps for Munster and 98 international caps. Are you gutted you didn't make the 100 international caps?
No, I'm not. And I think if I got to 100, I'd always be looking for that extra few more.
Yeah.
101, 102, 103, and looking to build on it. So there's. Everyone finishes on a number, but I've been privileged enough to be part of great teams over the years, and to get to that a number has been a special thing for me.
And you've done us all proud. Peter Stringer, everybody, thank you very much.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.